All right, now let me ask you this. Have you ever misplaced something that's pretty critical, I guess you'd say, to your daily life? Maybe something like your phone or your wallet or maybe your purse. Something that we are so dependent on sometimes for our daily living that when they get misplaced, we kind of freak out. At least I do. Now, an example for me is this. I don't know if you can see this. If not, okay, it is a tiny, severely beat up. In fact, it's in three pieces, okay? I've stapled some of the pieces together, but it is an index card size spiral notebook. And it is one that contains every username, every password, okay, to the multiple systems and databases and subscriptions that I've added to my repertoire over the last like 13 to 14 years. And it includes work stuff, it includes personal stuff. And I gotta tell you, there have been occasions in the past where I've been like, where did I put that thing? Where did that go? Now, mind you, okay, self-confession, I'm a bonehead, okay? Meaning I have these usernames, I have these passwords written down and saved nowhere else, just on this. I should, but I don't, okay? So when I am like, where did that thing go? It is freak out time for me. In other words, I kind of feel hopeless because without it, I can't accomplish much of what I in fact need to do when it comes to work, and I am just really dependent on it. Now, I use this as an example, a lighthearted example of what I would say is hopelessness. And again, maybe you've experienced something similar, this frozen, this like terrifying feeling upon not being able to find something that is necessary to your daily life. Again, maybe your phone or your wallet. And in that, you've felt hopelessness. Or maybe you've experienced a far deeper, a far more scary hopelessness, something more traumatic. But church, regardless of the specifics, hopelessness is real. It is a real thing, and it is often caused by a lack of purpose. You know, what is the meaning of life? Have you ever asked that? That can lead us to hopelessness sometimes. Or maybe a lack of direction. Where do I go from here? Or a lack of meaning, a lack of security. In fact, an online article about hopelessness states that hope is linked and can be linked to the following vital needs. One, attachment. This hope one has for physical proximity and intimacy, an emotional bonding, a spiritual unity. Second, this article stated that hope is linked to what they term as mastery, this hope for productivity and for accomplishment. And then thirdly, hope, this article proposed, is linked to survival, a hope for overcoming things like physical challenges, things like anxiety even, or loss and fear, these things that can actually build resiliency. So I say all that to say a decent article, but what this article and what the world overall doesn't often reference is that our ultimate hope can be found in the person and the deity of Jesus Christ. And church, with Jesus, even in the midst, okay, even in the midst of things like confusion and fear and frustration, we can still, in fact, have hope. Now, with that, as I said, today as we begin this brand new series called Summer Playlist, in which we are going to look at several songs that a few members of Revive's worship department wrote, again, under the leading and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in this series, we'll be unpacking the scriptures that influence the writers and these said songs, okay? And our first song, as the video showed, is All Our Hope, which has chorus lyrics as follows. Our Lord, for yours is the way, the truth, and the life. Your way never fails, your righteousness life. All our hope's in you. Your truth will empower your people to rise and praise you with power and full of delight. All our hopes in you. All our hopes in you, Jesus. Just some beautiful lyrics, right? But these beautiful lyrics, they are based on the truth of Scripture. And so with that, in John chapter 14 of our Bible, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he states the following. John 14, starting in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, said Jesus, the way to the place where then I am going. But then Thomas, one of the disciples who was kind of always questioning and always doubting, he responds with this in verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? To which Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, I read this passage because this is where we get the lyrics, okay, for the chorus of the song, All Our Hope, that we will sing and worship a little bit later today. Because in summary, in this passage, Jesus is saying, fear not. He is saying, fear not, and do not let your hearts be troubled. For I, said Jesus, I am the way to peace. I am the way to life. I am the way to hope. And this is not just temporarily, but for all eternity, church. And in short, in this short yet powerful statement of John 14, 6, Jesus gives three clear directives related to our being in right relationship with God, which is what I want us to unpack this morning. Because in this, okay, is where hope is to be found. Now, the first of his clear directives is this. Jesus states that he is the way, right? He says, I am the way. Now, when I have lost my password notebook, I think, well, you know, I could go by memory and I could try to guess my way into the various systems. But I'm telling you, that would not be successful. And that, in fact, would be stressful. Because after a few mistakes, you get locked out, right? You see, I want and I need a clear way to my destinations. And you really want, I'm telling you, deep down, you really want and you really need a clear way to your destinations. And first and foremost, to the destination of God's presence and ultimately to heaven. But you see, in our culture today, just as in the culture of Jesus's time, there is a belief by many that there are many ways to God. And that as long as you are happy, as long as you feel good, as long as you do good, that you will make it to God. Or that as long as you believe in any sort of higher power, then you'll make it to God and you'll go to heaven. And there is this misconception that everyone goes to heaven and is unified with God, regardless of the decisions that they make on this earth. I mean, there are plenty of people who believe, you know, that they could be Islam or Buddhist or Hindu or New Age or creationist or universalist, and that it just does not matter, and that as long as you're good, you'll be fine. Now, we as Christians, okay, we are to love all of these people that I just mentioned. We are not to judge or look down. And even as we talked last week about pursuing peace, we should be pursuing peace with all of these people. But because of this all too common mentality we have that there are several ways to God, we probably have like 7 or 8 billion different definitions of what is good, along with billions of different standards by which to live by. And I think a large part of why people are afraid to claim one way, particularly with Jesus, is that it brings with it accountability. And you know as well as I do that people, because we are one. So you know as well as I do, we would rather live as we please, without a sense of accountability. But to me, I just got to tell you, that seems stressful. It did when I was living that way before Christ until my mid-20s. I mean, I'm telling you, I'd rather have someone tell me this is the way and the only way, and that this is the clear standard to live by. I'd rather have that than to keep guessing at it, which is what Jesus says here. He says, I am the way. I am the way. Yet many people, okay, many, as the video said, many people struggle with this verse because they feel it's just too narrow. I mean, how? How could there possibly be only one way to God, only one way to forgiveness, only one way to heaven? And because of their thinking, many view this one way being Jesus, many view it as selfish, or I guess you could even say egotistical by God. But in reality, this way, okay, the through Jesus way, in reality, do you know what? It is wide enough for all of creation. For all one has to do is repent, admit they are sinners, and believe. Believe that Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Meaning no one who doesn't want to be excluded is excluded. It's open to all, for everyone is welcome. And so I ask, what is so selfish about that? Come on, what is so selfish about that? In fact, God was so selfless that he gave. He gave his one and only son to take the punishment for us. So we are reminded here today in our verse that salvation is found only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. With there being no requirements other than repenting, intentionally turning from our sins and believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Savior and Lord. And he, Jesus, he invites everyone, despite their heartache, everyone, despite their past, everyone, despite their imperfections, despite any of that, he invites us. And he invites us despite our failures. And this invitation, church, it gives us reason to place our hope in him. Jesus is the way. Amen. He is the way. And then he goes on to say what? That he is the truth, right? Now, in this day and age, it seems as if it is harder than ever to find out the truth about anything. I mean, all you have to do is flip through the channels on your TV or scroll the articles or the videos that are in your feed, right? And you'll find a variety of viewpoints, a variety of opinions, and a variety of statements about anything and everything under the sun, all claiming what? To be true, yet contradicting one another. And this especially becomes glaringly obvious during our political seasons. I can't wait for fall, can you? Yuck. Talk about an opportunity to feelings of hopelessness. This fall, let's turn down the world. Let's turn it down and let's turn up Jesus this world, this fall. And I say all that to lead us to this. How in the world, okay? How in the world can we find out what is truly true? Now, when I look back at the moments in my life when I felt hopeless, a large factor was that I just couldn't clearly identify what was true. Many of my late teens and my early 20s before Christ, they were just like that, okay? For example, what is truly the best way to live and to conduct myself? I wrestled with that. So the absence of truth and the refusal to accept and to live God's truth in this life, I'm just telling you, it leads to hopelessness. Hopelessness in this life and beyond. And one of the greatest ways that the enemy tries to pull us away from our God is by whispering lies into our minds. Things like, you aren't worthy. or you aren't good enough, or you aren't pretty enough, or you aren't successful enough, or you aren't strong enough. He whispers these things, or whatever enough. You can fill in your own blank. And he, this enemy of ours, he likes to divide you and I. He likes to divide us as people and as Christians on lies as well, where we falsely believe this or that about someone else without really knowing what truth is or even taking the time to investigate that. And it's when we start, church, believing these lies that we find ourselves filling up with hopelessness. Now again, in this verse in John 14, 6 that we are looking at today, Jesus is saying that he is truth, not just the truth, meaning that we can believe him. We can believe him when he says something, church, and when he promises something, especially when he tells us that we are welcomed into the presence of God through him. We can take that to the bank. Despite our failures, despite our junk. In fact, I think some of Jesus' most countercultural teachings that bring us so much hope that we can trust, I think they're found in what is called and referred to as the Beatitudes. Let's look at Matthew 5, starting in verse 3. God's word says this, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Church, the world we live in, I'm just telling you, would tell us that almost every individual that Jesus referenced there should experience hopelessness. But he, Jesus, tells us, he tells us just the opposite. And again, we can believe that what Jesus says is true. We can believe his words. And if you haven't up to this point in your life and are seeking hope and are seeking someone that you can trust, give him a shot. He will not disappoint. And why can't I possibly confidently say this? Well, I can do so because shortly after Jesus spoke the words that we are looking at here in John 14, shortly after that, do you know what happened? He was crucified. He was crucified for us. He was crucified for you. But then he defeats death. He defeats it. He rises from the grave to give you life, to give me life. So for this reason, we can believe, church, every word that he says. For he fulfilled the Old Testament prophets, and he lived a perfect life, and he fulfilled his promises, and he solidified them by defeating death. And so because of this, we can trust him for today, we can trust him for our true future, we can trust what Jesus says, leading us to confidently conclude this, Jesus is trustworthy, period. He is trustworthy. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to wonder if what Jesus says will come true or not. So when Jesus says that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life in John 3:16, we can believe it. We can take it to the bank. And when Jesus says that those who are persecuted will be blessed, you can trust him. We can trust him. And when Jesus says that his grace is sufficient in our seasons of pain and mine, and that his power is made perfect in our weakness, we can trust him, church. And when Jesus says that he didn't come to condemn us, but to save us, we can trust him. Do not feel condemned. Receive Christ and feel forgiven, church. We can trust him. We must. To whom else can we really turn? And so for these reasons, we can place our hope in Jesus. Moving on then in this passage of verse 6 of John 14, he, Jesus, then continues by saying what? That he is the life. The life, right? Life. Think about that word for a second. Life. Such a massive, such an elusive, such an all-encompassing word and reality. Now, church, if I end up living to 80 or 90, I've lived more than half of my life already. And with that said, I've figured some things out. I'm not that much of a bonehead. I figured some things out while I've been living the first 50 years of my life. And one of the things I figured out is that at times, life is hard. Life is hard at times. There are struggles and there are challenges and there is heartache and there is confusion. And many times those struggles and those challenges, they can just usher in the feelings of hopelessness that we've been talking about today. But it doesn't have to be like that. Church, when we acknowledge that Jesus is our Savior, we can still find hope. We can still find hope in the midst of struggles, in the midst of heartache, in the midst even of our mourning. And a large part of how that is possible is because of the eternal perspective. The eternal perspective that we receive and that we can trust when we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we, in fact, believe that he is the way and the truth. And yes, yes, we still face struggles. But these struggles, you see, are merely temporary. These struggles are merely mortal issues that will not last into eternity. You see, Jesus is stating that he is the life. And this life that he is speaking of is eternal, not temporal. Beyond this world, ultimately. Not of this world, primarily. You see, Jesus, he understands that on this earth, we will face difficulties. And he desires to be there with us in them as we navigate them, to guide us, to minister to us. But with this eternal perspective, our temporary issues, they do not have to define us. And they don't have to hold us down. They don't have to hold us back longer than they should. But they can, in fact, strengthen us and draw us closer to our God, providing a hope that surpasses all worldly comprehension. Now, the Apostle Paul, who we were learning from in our last series on peace, this dude understood this greatly, okay? In fact, here is a verse that should maybe be at the ready so that when you face some struggles, you can pull it out quickly, you can quote it, whatever. It's powerful. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, Paul writes this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. What, Paul? We glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, what, church? Hope. And hope, he writes, does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What an incredible progression that Paul describes here. And it all leads to hope. Hope. So, track with me. With or without Jesus, we are going to face struggles in this life. Agree? But without Jesus, these struggles can define us and they can lead us and they can leave us in hopelessness and in despair. And I want to be really clear. I am not saying that if you feel hopelessness or if you feel despair at times, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with you. I'm not saying there's something wrong with your faith. But if you get stuck there, there may be. There may be. Because you see, with Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus walks with us. He walks with us through them, ministering to us, strengthening us, building character in us, all of which lead again to where? hope to hope. I need some hope. I bet you do. It all leads to hope. And best of all, no matter what we go through here on earth, it is just a drop in the bucket, you see. It's just a drop in the bucket when it comes to eternity. We need to remember that. We need to remember that the life we share with Jesus is eternal. The life you share with Jesus through your faith is eternal. So because of Jesus and that truth, I won't be shaken. And you don't have to be either. And because of Jesus and because of the truth, I won't be moved. And neither do you have to be moved. No matter what life throws at you, keep tethered to the rock. Keep tethered to Jesus. Keep hungry for him. And because of Jesus, I won't grow weary. And you need not either. Again, I very likely lived more than half my life. I very likely lived more than half my life here on earth. But when it comes to an eternity with Jesus, I've lived a mere few moments. All because, church, all because Jesus is the way. All because Jesus is the truth. And all because Jesus is the life. And because of that, I can place my life, and so can you. And I can place my hope, and so can you, in him. So if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for truth, if you're looking for life, if you're looking for hope, the answer to it all is Jesus, period. Jesus. The answer is Jesus, and he's available to you. So the rest of today, now, do you know, the rest of today, now, and your future can be different than your present. It just can be. In an instant, it can be. By simply authentically connecting with him in prayer, which I'm going to lead us all through as the worship team comes forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you, first and foremost, because life can be so confusing and so hard to navigate. And there's so much being thrown at us and so many opinions about what is good, what's going to help, what's going to save. But it's all you. It's you. You are the answer. And we see that today. You are the way and the truth and the life. So, Lord, we proclaim that together. And, Lord, I'm just going to ask people, is there anybody here that feels hopeless? Anybody in this place that feels hopeless? Lord, for whoever that is, I just pray that you would just individually minister to that person as they open themselves up confessing, I'm feeling hopeless right now. I don't know where to turn. I don't even know where to take my next step. I don't even know if I can get out of bed tomorrow. Lord, would you minister to that person? Would you fill them with a hope, knowing that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you will bring life to them and hope to them. So if you're hopeless, receive today. Are you somebody here today who needs direction? Do you need to know the way? Because you're just lost and you're wandering aimlessly. You don't know what the meaning of life is. Would you ask God to minister to you in that? I ask on your behalf, Lord, would you lead people in the way that you would have for them? Would you guide them in your way? Would you be a light for their path so that they can take their next step? And Lord, if there's anybody in here that just needs some clarity, it's confusing, it's cloudy, there's so much going on, and they just need clarity, Lord, would you provide that for them? Would you help them to download all the things going on in their mind to you? And would you help them carry that? And would you fill that space where they have emptied? Would you renew their mind with your truth as they seek after you? Would you bring clarity to them on things like the purpose of life? Because you have a beautiful purpose for us all, and I pray that you would bring clarity. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.